Chris Bledsoe's story has captivated millions, from government officials to religious scholars. This former construction worker from rural North Carolina experienced something in 2007 that would forever alter his life and challenge our understanding of reality. His encounters with mysterious orbs, beings of light, and a radiant female entity have been investigated by the CIA, NASA, and religious scholars alike. Unlike many UFO accounts, Bledsoe's experiences contain profound spiritual dimensions that transcend typical extraterrestrial narratives. As Jim Semivan, former CIA clandestine operations officer, notes, Chris's experiences contain elements that many officials have encountered themselves but were afraid to discuss publicly. What makes his story particularly compelling is how these otherworldly encounters transformed not just his beliefs, but his physical health and family relationships in ways that defy conventional explanation. Growing up in rural North Carolina, Chris developed a profound connection to the land his ancestors had inhabited for generations. Nature wasn't just a backdrop, it was an extension of the living room. His father, a physically imposing carpenter, taught him hunting, fishing, and building skills from an early age. Despite limited formal education, Chris displayed remarkable mechanical aptitude, repairing neighbors' appliances by age 9. His childhood included unsettling experiences that would later seem prophetic. At age 10, he survived being shot in the back with over 300 birdshot pellets in a hunting accident. 17 pellets remained in his body, and he credited his survival to some protective force that had watched over him since encountering a giant owl that seemed to guard him. This sense of protection would resurface throughout his life at critical moments. Chris's early working years were marked by both achievement and hardship. He managed his own framing crew while still in high school, building homes on freshly cleared forest land. At 17, he suffered severe burns from a car radiator accident and later endured the devastating loss of his first wife in a car accident. After meeting Yvonne through her brother, they married and she introduced him to the Pentecostal Holiness Church. Chris discovered a passion for flying when Yvonne bought him his first lesson, finding peace in the sky despite its dangers. By the 1990s, Chris was juggling 70 home construction sites and 30 renovations simultaneously, an impossible workload that deteriorated his health. He developed debilitating IBS symptoms that worsened with stress. When the housing market crashed after 9/11, his company spiraled downward. His health collapsed completely, and a psychiatrist's dangerous medication cocktail led to lithium toxicity and hospitalization. By 2005, the family had lost everything, moving from their large home back to a remodeled double-wide on his father's property. On January 8, 2007, Chris's life transformed forever. After finishing a beach house framing job with his son, Junior, he took his crew fishing at the Cape Fear River on his father's hunting club land. While the others set up their fishing poles, Chris wandered off alone, finding momentary peace against an old oak tree. As evening fell, Chris walked away from the campfire into the darkening woods. He heard rustling that matched his movements, initially thinking it was a deer, before realizing it seemed like two-footed steps. Fear drove him toward a clearing, where he saw two glowing reddish-orange spheres hovering silently above the tree line. These 45-foot diameter objects resembled miniature suns. When he decided to run back to warn his son, a third sphere suddenly appeared. The next thing Chris remembered was running into the clearing where their campfire had dwindled to embers. To his shock, the crew told him he'd been missing for hours. His son Junior was gone searching for him. When Chris finally found Junior trapped in thick brush, his son was furious, insisting Chris had been gone all night. Junior described seeing two deep red spheres floating through the woods while searching for his father. He'd been approached by what he described as two small translucent beings with mechanical red fiery eyes that opened and closed like shutters. They picked up sticks and examined them curiously, while one always watched him. For 2 hours, Junior lay paralyzed in the brush, unable to call for help even when he heard his father searching. As they prepared to leave, one of the men pointed to the sky where 9 balls of light, Venus-sized and bright white, gathered in a circle above them. The formation rotated, scattered, and then 3 descended into the woods across the river, pulsating with brilliant white and electric blue light. They hovered silently, blazing with unbelievable brightness, before the group panicked and fled. The transformation in Chris and Junior forced everyone around them to reckon with what had happened. Most people met Chris with pity or scorn, seeing only a man who had lost his company and now appeared to have lost his mind. Rumors spread rapidly. That poor family. I wouldn't let that guy operate a hammer. The devil is at work in that man. When Yvonne and the younger children returned, she responded with limited generosity and considerable skepticism. As a protective mother and a deeply religious Pentecostal community where anything unexplained was considered demonic, she navigated a difficult position, neither affirming nor denying what happened while maintaining the family standing in the church. Everyone associated with Chris faced consequences. The children were teased at school for having a crazy dad. Most painful was watching Junior, who had directly witnessed the beings, suffering from nightmares and seeing shadowy figures. Yet amid this social exile came an inexplicable blessing. Chris's debilitating Crohn's disease symptoms completely disappeared, freeing him from medication for the first time in years. Stuck at home and unable to find work due to his reputation, Chris retreated inward. Nature offered unexpected solace, with great horned owls taking residence above their home. He began drawing and painting wildlife, finding profound humility in capturing their grace. His relationship with nature transformed completely. Having once been a prolific hunter who had killed a record-breaking black bear, he now felt crushing shame at his past actions. The being's message of compassion toward all life resonated deeply as he observed the wilderness with new eyes. In his sketchpad, he tried to capture the profound beauty he now recognized in every creature. This spiritual awakening came at the cost of nearly everything else in his life. Though the wilderness provided temporary peace, it couldn't permanently shield Chris from the pain of his exile. When they got internet access for the children's schoolwork, he discovered MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, a civilian organization dedicated to investigating UFO phenomena. For the first time since the incident, he felt hope stirring. Here was an established protocol, a methodology for documenting and investigating exactly what had happened to him. The organization's scientific approach and decades of experience gave him a framework to understand his experience. After meticulously documenting his experience on MUFON's website, spending nearly 3 days perfecting every detail, Chris agonized over submitting it. The report included precise timestamps, weather conditions, and detailed sketches of what he'd witnessed. An investigation would inevitably involve his family, potentially bringing unwanted attention and further ostracism. Would their modest farmhouse become the next Roswell? Would curiosity seekers and skeptics alike descend upon their property, forcing them to abandon the sanctuary they'd built? For 2 weeks he struggled with the decision, his cursor hovering over the submit button countless times. The weight of isolation pressed against his desperate need for validation. Every night, he'd revisit the draft, adding details, refining descriptions, until finally, at 3:47 a.m. on a Tuesday, he clicked submit. MUFON's response came within hours, expressing particular interest in the physical evidence he described. They wanted to send their top investigators from the North Carolina chapter. Days later, something extraordinary happened that shifted the family dynamic forever. Driving home from church, Yvonne and all 4 children witnessed an iridescent, color-shifting, cone-shaped object hovering above the pine trees. The object moved in ways that defied conventional aircraft capabilities, rotating while remaining perfectly still, then accelerating instantaneously. When air traffic controllers at nearby Charlotte Douglas International Airport confirmed they detected nothing unusual, Yvonne finally seemed to accept that something truly inexplicable was happening to their family. The North Carolina MUFON Group began visiting their property regularly, setting up sophisticated monitoring equipment and conducting detailed interviews. Their professional approach and genuine interest provided Chris with the first real validation he'd experienced since his initial encounter. When MUFON offered to include their case in a Discovery Channel series, the family faced a difficult decision. Despite Yvonne's reservations about public exposure, their children's excitement about potential vindication, particularly 14-year-old Sarah's passionate advocacy, convinced them to agree. The promise of anonymity gradually gave way to showing their faces and names as they desperately hoped for community acceptance and understanding. The decision to go public, however, would unleash a torrent of consequences that would haunt Chris for years to come, making it one of the worst decisions of his life. On the Saturday before Easter, Chris sat on the back porch steps and made a solemn vow to never speak of the phenomena again, regardless of his gratitude for being cured of Crohn's. His family's well-being had to come first. He fell asleep on his study couch with this resolution. At 3 a.m., a thunderous command, "Arise!" jolted him awake. He saw the dim holographic outlines of shadow beings and found himself compelled to dress and follow them into the woods. Near the dog kennel, one being extended its arms, ordering him to take a small, headless, limbless creature with prickling fur that squirmed in his hands. From a hole of complete blackness in the trees charged a 1,500-pound translucent black bull with horns. As Chris tried to stand after narrowly avoiding being trampled, he found himself kneeling before a floating woman bathed in light. Her beauty immediately calmed his fear. Hovering with bare feet pointed downward, wearing a simple gleaming robe like an ancient priestess, she had blonde hair and dazzling blue eyes. Without moving her lips, she spoke, "You know why I'm here." She revealed herself as the director of all the phenomena. The orbs, beings, and visions were her tools. She promised protection for his family if he continued his mission, allowing the orbs to be photographed and witnessed by others. She explained the creature he'd been given symbolized humanity, directionless, senseless, in dire need of guidance. She warned of forces working to cast these phenomena in a negative light, which would set humanity on a path to ruin. Chris had been chosen to reveal their benevolence. A new knowledge must arrive. Mankind must awaken to it, she said. Her final words echoed as he stumbled back to the house. This is your burden. You must bear it. Easter morning found Chris transformed, a new father, husband, gardener, and friend. Despite his fear of risking more public shaming, he felt compelled to share his story as the lady instructed. Days later, he received an invitation to speak at a MUFON conference in Asheville. Though nervous about public speaking, he started with the river incident but felt compelled to share about the lady. The crowd initially mocked him, but fell silent when he unexpectedly prophesied a 6.8 earthquake in Baja on September 23, 2012, and election disruptions in New York. Weeks later, MUFON invited Chris to Wilmington to meet Diana, a religious studies professor. Diana revealed she'd been researching UFO reports with religious aspects and believed the beings Chris encountered were angels rather than aliens, aligning perfectly with his own intuition. Her academic background in world religions helped him understand how his experiences paralleled those in religious texts. Diana introduced Chris to screenwriters Chad and Carrie Hayes, proposing a film about his experiences. Reluctant to risk his family's well-being again after the Discovery Channel ordeal, Chris promised to pray for a sign before agreeing to meet them. After days of seeing nothing, his family witnessed an inexplicable phenomenon. Their catalpa tree spontaneously erupted in flames, despite recent rainfall and no ignition source. Taking this as his sign, Chris and Yvonne cautiously agreed to explore a movie option. The electoral disruptions Chris predicted came true, delaying a conference he and Yvonne had been invited to called The Gathering. This exclusive event in Philadelphia connected serious people seeking answers about phenomena, including physicists, Egyptologists, government officials, and UFO researchers. Among the attendees were Colonel John Alexander, who would become a close friend and collaborator. After Grant Cameron stayed with the Bledsoes, their dog Nellie suffered a severe neck wound with blood spurting everywhere. Desperate and terrified, Chris pressed his hands against her wound, praying for help. Mysteriously, the wound completely healed under his touch. Chris felt the lady's presence flowing through him as a healing conduit, and Grant recorded the entire incident. Tim Taylor, a NASA employee, unexpectedly joined their growing circle of allies. Tim conducted a test with two unusual metal pieces. When he placed a wrinkled gray metal sample in Chris's hand alongside a silver gray piece, energy jolted through him, causing tunnel vision and a racing heart. Tim revealed these materials contained isotopes from 50 million light years away, not made by human hands nor occurring naturally on Earth. Of all the people he had tested, only two others had reacted, confirming the truth of Chris's experiences. Chris's healing abilities manifested again when Doug Auld, a painter from New Jersey, arrived with a severe hockey injury, a massive bruise on his hamstring. After Chris prayed over his leg, the bruise and pain disappeared overnight. Later, Sharon, a woman with terminal kidney cancer that was resistant to chemotherapy, experienced a miraculous recovery after Chris prayed for her. Her oncology appointment revealed her cancer had shrunk to a negligible speck. Perhaps most remarkable was the case of Brandon, a 12-year-old boy with terminal mitochondrial disease who could no longer digest food. After meeting him and feeling a strange electrical energy building within himself, Chris silently prayed for Brandon's healing while hugging him goodbye. At 1 a.m., Brandon's mother called ecstatically, reporting he had eaten two full helpings of food, something he hadn't been able to do for months. Today, Brandon is a sophomore in college. In January 2019, on the 12-year anniversary of his first encounter, Chris witnessed an orb descending in a corkscrew motion at his pond, changing colors from white to red. He could make out a tall, translucent being containing the orb within its form. As it glided across the water toward him, he attempted to record it, but discovered 10 minutes had inexplicably passed in what felt like seconds. Afterward, Chris awoke with downloaded messages warning of difficult times ahead, including famine, plague, and unrest. He struggled with how to communicate these ominous warnings without alarming people unnecessarily. After telling his family, he ended his 7-year interview hiatus and gave 10 interviews over 6 months, advising people to prepare for potential disruptions to modern comforts. In February 2020, despite his severe rheumatoid arthritis, Chris spoke at a conference in San Francisco, including warnings about coming troubles. Upon returning home, news of coronavirus emerged, which he immediately recognized as the lady's prophesied plague. Being immunocompromised, he consulted his doctor and stopped taking immunosuppressants and prednisone. While quarantining in his workshop as his family battled COVID, Chris experienced a remarkable recovery. His joint swelling decreased, he could walk without a cane, and his energy returned. In September 2021, Colonel John Alexander urgently connected Chris with David Broadwell, who had experienced communication with the phenomena in Virginia. David and Chris began conducting synchronized experiments across 400 miles. Using identical cameras and settings, while keeping their phones on speaker, they would meditate and focus on agreed-upon locations in the sky. Remarkably, orbs would appear simultaneously over both their locations, at distances that made it impossible to be filming the same object. In May 2022, David organized a groundbreaking, private, invitation-only conference at the Monroe Institute in Virginia, a facility long renowned for its research into consciousness and human potential. The carefully curated group of 20 participants represented a fascinating cross-section of expertise, from a well-known Hollywood actress and gifted psychic medium to one of the world's foremost UFO researchers. The attendees also included several former military personnel, notably Colonel John Alexander, various government employees with security clearances, distinguished university professors, and an international contingent bringing diverse cultural perspectives to the gathering. Throughout the intensive week-long program, participants immerse themselves in a series of controlled experiments and guided exercises. These included advanced training in telekinesis, the ability to influence physical objects with the mind, and the famous spoon-bending workshops that had previously attracted scientific attention. The remote viewing sessions were particularly noteworthy, building on protocols developed during classified government programs, while precognition exercises explored participants' ability to access future information. These experiments utilized the Monroe Institute's revolutionary sound meditation technology, specifically their patented HemiSync system, within specially designed controlled holistic environmental chambers, CHECs. These chambers, small, completely light-proof structures equipped with state-of-the-art audio systems, employed precisely calibrated binaural beats and specific frequencies designed to synchronize the brain's hemispheres and facilitate altered states of consciousness. Chris's participation in an EEG experiment with Dr. Ross Dunseth from the University of Virginia yielded particularly intriguing results. Two sophisticated modern EEG machines inexplicably failed to read beyond the left hemisphere of his brain, even when completely disconnected and recalibrated. Success came only with their third attempt, using an older model equipped with 32 leads. In a rigorous double-blind test, Chris demonstrated remarkable sensitivity when handling a sealed box containing metamaterial, reportedly of non-terrestrial origin, provided by renowned physicist Dr. Harold Puthoff. Without any prior knowledge of the contents, Chris accurately described sensing a living, glowing insect. The days culminated in nightly sky-watching sessions, where the group gathered to observe and document unusual aerial phenomenon. The final evening proved particularly memorable. After leading a group prayer for guidance, Chris engaged with two notably skeptical participants about maintaining open minds toward unexplained phenomenon. In a moment that seemed orchestrated by higher intelligence, just as one skeptic approached Chris to apologize and acknowledge a transformation in his understanding, a luminous orb appeared in the sky above them. This object, captured by a sophisticated $200,000 camera array, remained stationary for a full hour while the star field moved behind it, a phenomenon that defied conventional explanation. The incident served as a powerful finale to a week that had challenged assumptions and expanded perspectives about the nature of consciousness and reality. The last 16 years have tested Chris Bledsoe's faith tremendously, but his story continues with an invitation to us all. If you want to experience the phenomena yourself, the process is beautifully simple. Humble yourself before the heavens, go outside, and look up. Connect your heart and mind as one and simply say aloud, "I am here." This straightforward approach, according to Bledsoe, has led countless individuals to their own profound encounters, suggesting that these experiences aren't limited to specially chosen individuals, but are available to anyone approaching with sincere intention. Throughout history, we've interpreted these phenomena as gods, goddesses, angels, and demons, yet today, most view them as advanced technology. Ancient civilizations saw divine chariots in the sky, medieval witnesses reported celestial signs, and indigenous cultures worldwide maintain traditions of star people visiting Earth. Chris's thousands of videos show genuine interaction with the phenomena, witnessed in real time by government officials, scientists, researchers, and ordinary people alike. His documented encounters include orbs of light responding to human thought, physical manifestations that defy conventional physics, and communication that transcends normal sensory channels. His message remains consistent. These encounters represent a profound spiritual reality that transcends our current understanding, offering both warning and hope for humanity's future. As Jeffrey Cripple noted, our interpretation of these phenomena has evolved throughout human history, but their essence remains consistent: a higher intelligence attempting communication with humanity. The phenomena appear differently to different cultures and eras, adapting their presentation to our evolving collective understanding. In ancient Sumer, they were gods descending from the sky. In medieval Europe, they appeared as celestial messengers. In our technological age, they often manifest in ways that suggest advanced engineering. Yet the core message persists: humanity is not alone, and we are being observed and contacted by something beyond our current comprehension. Chris Bledsoe's extraordinary journey from construction worker to reluctant prophet offers a compelling case that the veil between worlds may be thinner than we imagine, and that ordinary people can become messengers of extraordinary truths. His experiences challenge both religious orthodoxy and scientific materialism, suggesting a reality where spiritual and physical dimensions intersect in ways our current paradigms struggle to explain. The consistency of his encounters, verified by multiple witnesses and sophisticated monitoring equipment, presents a modern testament to an ancient truth: the mysterious remains accessible to those willing to look up with an open heart and mind.